My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speaker Meeting at the Nava Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story.
Hey y'all, my name is Larry Scott and I am an alcoholic. And I'm free tonight. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, we hear our speaker and believe that is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us should be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. Tonight's speaker is a good friend of mine. Met Bill a couple of years back. If you had to describe him in one phrase, it would be service. Bill goes out of his way to help so many men. He runs a Bridges of Hope facility down in Central Georgia, and I'm honored to be able to sit with him on Wednesday nights and co-present The Big Book Comes Alive at a meeting on Wednesday nights down in Sandy Springs. He's a good friend, kind of a incestuous relationship, if you will, because I sponsor his sponsor and I sponsor his wife, and then I co-present with him on Wednesday night, so it's a little bit of a sick, twisted deal. But you're going to enjoy my buddy Bill Brown.
Yeah. Good evening, everybody. My name is Bill Brown. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. And Larry just outed me. You know what happens with this relationship, this group sponsorship, family relationship, every now and then, I just feel I need to get gut level, rigorously honest with my sponsor, and I just have to admit to him, I say, Joe, listen, man, I got to get this out. I need to do a 10-step. I'm sleeping with one of your sponsor sponsees. It's my wife. Throwing that out there. You didn't catch that. It takes a minute to connect the dots. I think meth addicts have the best shot at doing that quicker than everyone else. It's just an experience I've had. But guys, yeah, thank you very much. Listen, you know, Larry read from page 29, and it kind of gives me a guideline of what my job might be over the next 40 minutes or so. And that's to share in my own language, from my own point of view, how I established a relationship with God and getting access to that power. And I hope to do that. And it said in the very end of that reading, I must have this thing. And I was thinking about what propels me to be with you here tonight. And there's a little bit of a journey that takes place. This isn't how I drew this up. You know, I'm not that good of a guy to just kind of just, here, let me just be with you tonight. Let me cut out an hour of my life or whatever it looks like. You know, I'm selfish and self-centered. I do that in sobriety. Thank God for a program which has specific directions to get Bill out of Bill so I can be of service, hopefully. Right? But I must have this thing, and that's what brings me here. I'm invited to participate in something Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm in. I wasn't always, and I hope that kind of will be revealed, and there might be some identification through it, there might not. I don't know what's going to happen. But again, this was not the way I drew it up. And I'm really glad about that, because I find the things that I draw up, the book says in somewhere, most ideas are simple. No, see, mine are terrible, and they're real complicated, and they're drawn out, and they end up the same way when I'm creating them. You know, God put a set of passions in my heart and pursuits kind of in my soul that I know that He wants me to be part of. And I get to do that today as a participating member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what brings me here tonight, is that's what I must have this thing. And it just shows up tonight in this room with you. And I don't know what brings you in here. I don't want to say something kind of like, you know, super cool and real edgy and deep, like you were supposed to be here tonight. We were supposed to be together. But the truth is, I believe that. And Eric, welcome. And I'm glad that you guys are here. I get to meet some people I've never met before. I think that's pretty cool. But I was thinking about what brings me here tonight. And I look at that journey, and it's like the journey ended up here, right now with you. But if you have an experience like I have had, it's not a real straight line from point A to where we are here. That journey got real weird and real bumpy. Kind of painful for me and a whole bunch of people near me. But here it is, and it unfolds as life unfolds, and that's what's cool about being here. I get to participate tonight. You know, so, and this will be revealed at some point. So my journey starts out in Portland, Maine. I can make this real quick. Larry says, I talk funny. I'm not from around you. I think he talks funny. He says, I talk funny. I'm from Portland. I don't even sound like I'm from Portland, Maine, because this could be my story. I potted wicked hard, and now I'm wicked sober. Thank you. That's kind of it. There's some fat in there, too. I kind of cut out. But that's kind of what we sound like up there, in case you were wondering. But it starts there. So how else could this happen? You think about the experiences that happen in recovery, that happen in Alcoholics Anonymous, that happen through this program, if I participate in it. Because when I didn't hang around. I'm a real alcoholic. I drink left untreated. Period. There's no such thing as no matter what. Don't drink no matter what. Doesn't make sense to me. I can't relate to you. Because I drink no matter what. I need to be part of, right? So what brings me here? How else could this happen? I'm a cat dying of untreated alcoholism up in Portland, Maine. And I get a four-way phone call. On the other end of that phone is someone in recovery living in Cary, North Carolina. Another friend of mine from down in Naples, Florida. And another guy in recovery from Hilton Head, South Carolina. And I get an out. I get a lifeline. You know, and I'm presented two options. I can continue going on and beating it to the ground or accept spiritual help. After about 72 hours of contemplating that on someone else's couch, right? I get a 12-step call from Portland, Maine. Just follow me for a minute. Down to Charleston, South Carolina. Where a guy intervenes who's sponsoring one of my friends from Hilton Head, also living in the Hilton Head area. His name is Joe Naughton. He's my current sponsor now. I've never met him before. They were going to send me out to Arizona. Go do a little spin dry out there. Last minute, they change. They say, hold on a minute. I know this other place down in South Georgia called Bridges of Hope. Why don't we send him there? He's closer and it's cheaper. Kind of a good win-win, right? And they get me down there. So Joe, eventually through a series of circumstances, becomes my sponsor, takes me through the work. Puts a sticky note on my desk. I start working at the place I went through with treatment, recovery. He said, call this man. Name on that sticky note was Larry Scott. I said, no. I don't even like the name. Two first names. I'm not hooking up with that. Not feeling it at all. I said, I'm looking at it on my desk. I'm looking at it on my desk. And I never tore it off. And I never threw it away. You know, it's one of those moments that I'm not capable of doing that kind of thing. I make the call. I get to meet this cat who sponsors my sponsor, and I get through this experience. This big book gets brought to life to me in living color for the first time because I couldn't see myself in it. I didn't understand what it was talking about. And my world changes, right? But I get hooked up with this cat. And down the road, a couple of years, we get to be study partners on Wednesday night up in Sandy Springs. That's our home group. Big Book Comes Alive over there on Roswell Road, 7770 Roswell Road, North Springs United Methodist Church, 8 p.m. And we go to dinner before every meeting around 6 o'clock. We go to different spots. Been to sushi with this man twice over at Circle Sushi. And a couple other knuckleheads show up, old Charlie and Tim. And I get to meet Tim and... And Tim said, Bill, would you join us? So it starts in Portland, Maine. And over the course of years and experiences and relationships and being... See, that's the thing, guys. I've never participated. I kicked the tires of recovery. I attacked alcohol like a rabid mad dog. And I attacked recovery like I'm just going to kick the tires. Like that was never going to add up. I can't make that work. I'm not capable of making that work. And here we are. So and this is the deal. And it shows up right now. And I have no idea what's going to happen next. But the path is kind of developed in front of me. And I got a little more clarity than I've ever had before. I'm not going to kid you. I like the effect produced by recovery in God. If you can hook up with that, I get it. If you can't, hang around. There's going to be some cats in here that have the ability to show you through this work. to take you through the book, to get you a chance to get to a state of recovered and relief and freedom. That's the thing. I had to see that I wanted what you have. But I had to see that I wanted what you have and a group of guys who stayed around just long enough. Because when I was ready, really ready, they were carrying around something I wanted. And it wasn't in the form of a vehicle or clothes or a power share. It was in the form of freedom, the way they walked, how they treated each other and how they talked to each other and how they treated me. And my world changed. I get to participate. And I get to live. At the end of the day, again, I'm not a nice guy. I believe to drink is to die. Period. Left untreated, I know what's happening next. My sobriety date is June 26th of 2013. And by God's grace, I had the opportunity for sobriety. I'm not capable of coming off the runs I came off of. You know, God's grace is why I'm standing on top of this earth and not buried below it. Period. And I understand that today. So if you're sitting in grace, you're at a turning point, like we read early on. And I don't know what you're going to do. You know. I've been bringing a knife to a gunfight for years in recovery, trying recovery. It's not a fair fight. Like, how is that going to work? See, I was up. I never knew what my problem was. I was in a losing battle from the beginning. I was close-minded. And I was taking your inventory. I was willing to take inventory, just not mine, yours. I can do that today, too, if I'm not real careful, right? I'm bringing a knife to a gunfight. Because I believe this. I believe we all come armed with something. I believe someone's coming in here armed with something. I'm coming in armed with the facts about myself and a big book tonight. That's my weapon of choice today. Because I've got choice today. A lot of program of recovery, I have no choice. I can't relate to drug of choice or drink of choice. I relate to drug of no choice and drink of no choice. See, I've never had the option. I drink and use no matter what. And, you know, I came in here thinking I could work my way out of it. I'm going to focus on my career. I'm just going to bring a briefcase and a 16-hour day to a gunfight. I won't have time to go pick up. I'm going to be too busy. How's that work for a guy like me? Because that's the thing. I drink and work. All of a sudden, I can make this work for a minute until it doesn't work anymore. So that never worked. You know what I mean? How about health and fitness? Anyone get real healthy? You get every vitamin in the world. You get sober for like a week. Come out of detox. Hit GNC for about $400. You know what I mean? Bring a yoga mat and a gluten-free pizza to a gunfight and watch what happens. Right? How's that work? Not so good. Bring a therapist to a gunfight. I'm not saying don't have a therapist. You got some stuff going on. Go get help. God made therapists. Rock on. She just couldn't treat my alcoholism, and I didn't know that. It's my story. So I'm telling my story. I'm not going to tell you what to do. Do whatever you do. Right? The new thing, medical-assisted treatment. I'm not here to talk about your medication. I'm here to talk about mine. Bring a bottle of Klonopin to a gunfight. What happens? They steal your Klonopin, then they shoot you. See, that's the thing. The gunfight is alcoholism. It's a loaded gun, and it's got really good aim. And I lose every time. I never have a shot. I'm Bill Wilson going into Towns Hospital the first couple of times. I don't know what my problem is, you know, until someone lays out some facts about people with alcoholism. And we get to start to identify with some things. And the solution is offered and things come to light. I've got to understand this puzzle, but I need access to all the different parts. And we'll see kind of how that shows up here. But anyway, I never had a shot and I never knew it. And you can't tell me. I come in here with a bad attitude. Bring a bad attitude to a gunfight. Bring a real mean face to a gunfight. You know, that doesn't last very long. But that's what I'm doing. That's what I bring into Alcoholics Anonymous. And your stupid program and your stupid circles and your stupid chants and sayings. Right? Because that's where I'm coming from. And that's what I think this is. This couldn't work for me. I looked on the wall. I saw what you were bringing. Don't you understand? I got alcoholism up to my neck. I got these other issues out over my... I need some real help here. But I came in with a closed mind. And I never did what you did. Those of you who are participating in Alcoholics Anonymous, who have a home group, who go to group conscious and vote because you care about how the future of recovery is going to be laid out for the cats who don't have it yet, who sponsor other people, who are willing to set a piece of your life aside the way someone did for you. See, I never did those things. But I have no problem telling you that you were doing it wrong, and I have some ideas on how you can do it better. Stick around for a while. You'll meet guys like that, too. I mean, I've been there, and I've done that. I can still do that. Like I said, I can still do it today. Listen, I couldn't find myself in this book. And I'm so glad that I started looking around, and it was brought to light for me. I need to share who's up here. I need to get real honest, and for respect to Alcoholics Anonymous, the singleness of purposes, the traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm going to focus my talk on things related to alcohol. I'm a real alcoholic. I'm a guy that had untreated alcoholism until I had access to this program. So there's this little line over in Bill's story, and I start to say, wait a minute. Okay, that's me too. I start looking around. I did think like Bill thought. I did drink and use the way Bill drank. And I started doing the things he did. And I had some of those consequences. But I couldn't see that when I was asleep. And once again, I'm under no mistake what could happen if I fall asleep now. Because I know where this is headed. It says this. Bill writes this. Next day found me drinking both gin and sedative. And I perked up. I went, whoa. Well, I also like to party. What else you got, Bill? And it says, this combination suit landed me on the rocks. Whoa! Man, he's telling my story. See, I could tell you every reason why I don't relate to any of this. It's written in old-timey language. Here's some words that don't even make sense. This book was written for me, and it was written about me. And when I was awakened and open to it, man, it's just so cool. And it continues to change and evolve. That's what I think is so cool about the book. Guys, I come into the rooms with 30 years of alcoholism. And, you know, it's like that gets me to places like IOPs and PHPs. And I get my first possession of alcohol as a minor at age 14. Anyone hook up with that stuff? You know, I look back to Bill's story. Ominous warnings, which I failed to heed. That was a little look in. But I don't know I have alcoholism. I qualified for that seat right there at age 13, the first time I drank alcohol. Really went to drink. Not a sip of beer, you know, but the first time I went drinking. But I don't know that. It really gets brought to light in the second time I go to drinking, because what happens is I experience the allergy of the body. I do more than I intend to do. Everyone with me that first time, we all got loaded. We kind of rallied the next day. We all threw up and we had blacked out. We came to. We kind of get together. We're like, whoa. Whoa. That was awesome. We knew we were going to do a whole lot more of that. But here's what happened. Everyone else recalibrates. I can't. I don't. I don't have the ability to, because something happens to me in that sense that makes it virtually impossible for me to stop. Period. But I don't know that. You can't tell me at age 13, Bill, that might have been the phenomenon of craving that kicked in once you took the first one, son. You can keep... What? When do we do... Like, no. Like, who's got an older brother? We got to do this soon. So I like the effect produced by alcohol. Period. And I want some more of that. Takes me out of Bill. Takes me out of now. And I kind of dig that. Part of the opiate epidemic for about 16 years. If you relate, that's all I want to do is share who's up here. I got into places like methadone clinics. I understand what dope sickness is like. About 7 years of cocaine and mostly crack cocaine addiction. I'm just going to get in and out of that. So if you put them all together, you know, and alcohol was in the beginning and alcohol was in the very end. You know, I only smoked crack once though. The only problem is it lasted for 7 years. If you've ever experimented with that stuff, you know what I'm talking about, man. It gets real weird like that. And that's the thing. And so I end up in long-term recovery centers and detoxes and on other people's couches, period, you know. And here's the thing about that. My war stories can be summed up in just a little line over here on there is a solution. And this is it. It's so perfect. And it says, this is what alcoholism is. It's annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. That's what happened. That's a promise, by the way. So you're not going to hear me say, oh, the promises are coming true. I don't say that because that's a promise with untreated alcoholism. I like the ninth step promise. Yeah, rock on. Let's do the work. Let's start making amends and let's hook up with that stuff. I need to intuitively know how to handle life, which is baffling me. I get that. I need access to real power. But I experience annihilation of all things worthwhile in life. But when I start relating to this, have I really and what does it look like? What's worthwhile in life? How about my career? I worked my butt off to get full-time faculty over a little place called Kaplan University. I worked in the business department over there in Portland, Maine. I took someone's job. They took a semester off. And they never got their job back, you know. I didn't know I was ever going to get it, and I got it. Now I'm just in fear that I'm going to lose it. Lost it. Burned to the ground. Bought my own condo. Bank took that back. Bought my own car. Kind of like I thought the program was. I thought oil changes were suggested, not musts. Turns out they're musts, just like the big book lays out. These are things you must do. And, you know, the car is gone. Relationships gone. Family gone. They're detoxing from me. I'll never forget the phone call. Bill, no more, not another nickel. And I'm a guy that always needs to be bailed out. Always. They thought they were helping. They were. Helping me get what I had to have. Really. And nothing more than that. So I experienced that. But until I look at it, I better have that relationship. I better get clarity around where I'm at as I am propelled into the recovery opportunity that comes to light one day. So I don't think if I experience that, I don't think I'm here. I ain't done yet. That's my story. That's just what I believe. You know, then I start looking around. See, here's the thing. Bill's going to tell us what a real alcoholic is. And everyone's looking at me, and they're just like, what the heck? Man, I don't understand. Like, that's the thing. But if everyone could have carried page 21 around with them as they're walking around with me, things would have made a whole lot more sense. Right? And this is what it tells me. It says this about Bill. I'm a fellow who's been puzzling people, especially in lack of control. Let me share you a little bit about what that looks like in my world. I'm puzzling to my bosses. Because here's the thing. Now I'm down to all I'm doing is teaching classes. I'm no longer coming to office hours. I'm no longer coming to meetings. I've got an excuse all the time. Now I'm canceling classes. Now I'm borrowing money from colleagues and then students. It's not as weird as that sounds, although it's real. It's weird. Remember, it's college. It's not like middle school. That's weird. College is just stupid. I just did that stupidly. And that's the thing. I'm puzzling. People are like, what the heck? I know we paid him. He got paid, so why is he borrowing money from the students? Why is he not in again? We don't understand. You know what it is, especially in lack of control. Because when I started drinking on Thursday, I had every plan and intention to be back at work on Monday. I get Fridays off. Anyone ever miss Mondays a lot? I was supposed to stop at the second game of the NFL on Sunday. You know, and it's 2 a.m. and the lights are coming on in the next club or wherever the heck I am. Whatever that looks like. Whatever town that's in. And I have no idea sometimes where I am. My significant other is puzzled by all sorts of things. First of all, whoever invented online banking, you seriously ruined like a good portion of my drinking career that could have been. Like, I don't understand. Technology just kind of got in the way. And then all of a sudden, like, every time I make a withdrawal, she gets a text message. What the heck? Right? That's not cool. But, you know, but I remember, Bill, I don't understand. We gave you, Bill, how did you run out of gas again? We filled up your tank yesterday. Right? Then it gets real quiet in the house. I start getting nervous. I'm thinking she's going through my phone again. Right? Oh, like, you never done that. Come on. And it's, you know, and it's like, honey, what are you doing? And this is what she says. Trying to balance the checkbook. Ooh. She's puzzled. Because we're always negative $800. Anyone ever do a little overdraft protection? And ride the line? Guys, everyone's... No, see, that's the thing. And why? You know? I experience alcoholic torture that shows up in my body. Once I start, man, I can't stop. And I don't know where I'm going to end up. And I don't know how long it's going to go. You know, it says we do absurd, incredible, tragic things when drinking. You know, I started looking around. Absurd means wildly unreasonable. Guys, I was given an opportunity, I forgot about this, to resign from my job at Kaplan University. And I sat on that because I'm thinking, they're really not going to prove what they say I've done. And the walls have closed in. And I lose that opportunity and I get fired. Right? Because any logical person would know they're beaten, taken out when they have one. But I can't put that together. I'm illogical. You know? I'm absurd. And that's the way it shows up. This is what I do. And I can't stop once I start. And it says tragic. That's just really sad. You know, I've got these trophies on the corner of my desk because I'm really good at what I do. I have a talent. But now they're boxed up and someone else has my desk. And that's it, guys. I show up in this book. This is describing me, but I could never see it. You know? As I propel into where this takes us. And in my story, I end up in front of a recovery coach. Not a sponsor. I didn't really, again, I'm a little suspicious of you people in these rooms. I don't know about y'all holding hands and being nice and hugging and all that stuff. And I get a recovery coach. Of course I don't. My sister does, because I'm a little short on money again this month, just saying. And what happens is, for the first time in my untreated alcoholism, someone puts the truth on the table. Guys, this is a part of my story that moves me, and I don't know if it will move you, but there's a life hanging in the balance. And someone said the thing that everyone was thinking, but would say. No one would say. And her name was Kathleen. And she was sitting across from me and my sister, who was paying me to be there. And by the way, my sister's my hero. And she said, "Bill, you're dying. 30 pounds underweight. Unemployable." And I said, "I know." She said, "You need help." And I said, "I know." She said, "Now." Does anyone sponsor anyone in here? Is anyone a sponsor for newcomers or other people? Okay, so I'm going to say two words that y'all have heard before. So when she said, you need help now, guess what I said? "Yeah, but." Heard that before? "Yeah, but." Stick around a sponsor for a minute. You're going to know what that little phrase means. "Yeah, but I'm kind of busy. Yeah, but I got this thing. I got nothing. I owe everyone in the world money. No one will take my call. I can't even make a call because, like, who has a phone anyway at this point? I had to give that for what I had to have, man. And I got nothing." And it, you know, it's the end of my run, and I hadn't been walked out yet. Within 6 months of this opportunity, by the way, this university would have been glad to send me off to get some help. But man, I don't want to see the truth. I'm delusional. I can't see the truth in me. And I don't want you to know the truth, because I already feel less than. Right? And I get walked out of the university, and they took my keys. They said, "You're not welcome back here anymore." I was going to school, working on a degree for my work, and they said, you can't come here anymore. You disappear. Every 2 weeks you get paid. You disappear for a week. Then you come back for 2 weeks, and you disappear for a week. And they said, We're done. But you got to repay all this money." Right? And I was on this little project that it was a research project. We were going to get published in a peer-reviewed journal, which sounds really boring, and it would have been if you had ever read it. But it was really important for my work. And they said, "Bill, we're kicking you off our team." They went and they finished the project. They got published, and they went to Germany on the university's dime and had a week out there having an absolute blast. All they were doing was being part of good citizens, good employees, and I didn't have the ability to pull that off anymore. So what happens is this. Okay. I get it. It didn't go the way I thought it would. I had some ideas that didn't work. I tried it my way. I absolutely surrender now to the prospect of designing my own recovery. Has anyone tried that little number? How'd it go? Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And that's the thing, man. I still got my hands in everything. Everyone's like, "Bill, why don't you try this place?" I'm like, "Wait a minute. This one has palm trees. You kidding me? 30, I don't know. 30 days is an awful long time, but I guess I'll go." And they take my insurance. So I go down to, I do a little Delray Beach experiment, and I go down there, and then there's this wonderful professional. Her name is Lisa. And Lisa said, "Bill, you need to go to a place with a higher level of care." I ended up there eventually. I said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, she's paid to do this. She's really good at doing it because they pay her to do it. I know they do. That's where she works. I just, "No, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm Bill Dan Brown. I'm a grown man. I'm going over here." Guys, I'm designing. And what happens is, when I design, I can design my way into another drink. But when I'm designing my recovery, I get the same result. I get loaded. Put a clock on me. Because my way, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get well. I don't know how to do this. Because I've never done it. I just have contempt for it. That last run does it. I experience what the book calls crushed. Because if I don't experience crushed, once again, I ain't up here. I'm just not. And I experience crushed by a Bill Brown crisis. And I get real open-minded. A friend of mine calls it getting split wide open. That makes sense to me. I got split wide open. And I took my hands out for the first time in my life. And it showed up in recovery. I didn't say where I was going. I didn't care. I didn't ask how long it was. I didn't ask if if I could get my cell phone after 30 days, or if I could have a car. By the way, none of those things were available to me where I went. And I went with a half a bag of nothing, and it was a half a bag more than I needed. I just needed a genuine surrender, and for the first time, I get it. And again, I get real open-minded. I go through this program, and I end up working here. And working in the industry does not qualify me to stand up here. The only thing that does is having a vital spiritual experience. So where I'm not fighting, picking up the first one anyway. That's what qualifies me to be up here. I don't even know if that qualifies anyone to be up. This is why I'm up here tonight. I have the ability to do that because I'm not out there chasing. And so I'm part of this deal. I'm starting to take suggestions, get a sponsor. I do that. And we sit on the work, and we sit on the work, and before you know, I'm sent to another part of the state. And while I'm heading down to South Georgia, I get a call from the guy who was sponsoring my friend over in Hilton Head, South Carolina. And he says, "Bill, what are you going to do for a sponsor?" I said, "I don't know. I'll go to meetings and do that speed dating thing," kind of like, "Hey, you know, if you're not busy later, do you think you'll sponsor me?" It's like that awkward thing. Have you ever been in it? And this is what he said. Buck talks about you make an approach. He made an approach to Bill, "I'll take you through the work." So I never heard that before. What does that mean? He said, "I'll take you through the steps." I said, "Okay. That sounds like something we're supposed to be doing. There's steps and there's a book. I know I've owned one. I haven't done much with it." And what he does is he starts taking me through this work quickly. So here's what Joe knew that I didn't. There's a countdown going on in Bill Brown, but he didn't know what it was. He didn't know if I had 5 years of abstinence, 5 months of abstinence, or 5 days of abstinence, but he knew I hadn't had a vital spiritual experience, and he had to get me connected with God, period, because that was his job. Period. Now, to be my friend, and we're friends today. Guys, I sponsor guys I don't even like, but I love them. My job is to get them to God. And now we hold each other accountable. That's it. I don't know what the relationships will turn out to be. And we get through the work, and he gets me into amends by our third meeting. Right? And he traveled 3 hours to get to me. I traveled 3 hours to get to him. And we do this work. And I start making amends, and all of a sudden, wow, I like the effect produced by getting closer to God. I like the effect produced by recovery. These are things I didn't want to do, but by the time I'm at that step and I'm getting toward amends, man, I'm ready for some things I never thought I'd be ready for. I had to have real clarity around my powerlessness in relationship with alcohol, and I got that. And I took my hand out because I had to resign of being master of the universe, and I still have to do that on a regular basis because I'm capable of taking that back. And now I have a good look at myself through inventory. I was going to take things to the grave, which I was able to dump. And we get on this path. And he talks to me about relapse prevention. He says, "Bill, you want to keep it?" I'm like, "Yeah." He says, "That's the deal. Here's relapse prevention. Get your pen." I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "Write this down." Okay, I'm all like ready for this, like, you know, just the right quote. Maybe if it's good enough, I can share it in a meeting tonight and sound awesome, right? And he starts flipping numbers to me. He says, 9. Okay. And he says, 10. I'm like, okay. He says, 11. He says, 12. He says, "Bill, welcome to the growth steps. You're going to stay on your amends on a regular basis. You're going to revisit that 8-step list. And you're going to start to grow in effectiveness and understanding through regular 10 steps. And he showed me the directions for the 10 step out of the book, not off the wall, because I'd have missed a whole bunch. And I didn't know that. Thank God he stuck around long enough to show me this thing, and he's still around today showing people. He talked to me that in step 11, to improve is to grow. Guys, and here's the thing, 10 and 11, it's like, we're getting past relief and we're getting to freedom on a pretty regular basis. And you start chipping away at these amends. And that's the thing, it's like, what happens to me, a guy like me, where my defects of character show up when they show up, and again, that can be on a fairly regular basis. If I find myself 10-stepping the same thing over and over and over again, all of a sudden, I need to be awakened and aware to these things that I don't want anymore, and I want God to take, all of a sudden are working for me again. Last year I wrote inventory for the first time since my first inventory with Joe. It was my first time in about 4 years. Thank God. I didn't want to tell him. I don't want to call him and say, "Joe, I need to do inventory." And guys, by the way, that took me all of, what, 30 minutes to do an updated inventory, 45 minutes. I didn't have to sit on it for 4 months. Because when I'm sitting on inventory for 4 months, I ain't writing inventory. I'm sitting on it. It's not my truth. And I'm able to sit on stuff if I don't act. These aren't supposed to be happening to me, don't you know? I'm in recovery. But they were. And I like the effect produced by freedom. And I said, Joe, I believe the drink is to die. Damn it, we need to meet. And we met up. And one night after dinner, late at night in his condo, when his newborn is asleep and his wife is down for the night, I dump inventory. And in the morning we do some work that we do, and it gets back on the 8-step list. Guys, and that's the thing. That's what it looks like in Bill's life. And in step 11, I'm not doing any cutting edge, you know, the cool stuff that's kind of, you know, unique. But I'm open-minded to it. And thank God I am, because that's the thing. I don't know what the experience is going to be as that continues to grow and evolve. And Bill is capable of checking boxes in his prayer and meditation life too. And I don't like the effect that produces. Let me tell you something. Neither do my colleagues. Neither does my staff. Neither does my wife and my study partners and the people around me. You know, because things are out of proportion when I'm not engaged and participating in the thing that was written for me for true freedom. Book talks about vital, which is life-sustaining, to permanent, which is permanent recovery, is one-on-one with another alcoholic. You know, someone cut a piece of their life out for me. What am I going to do about it? Do I believe my life depends on working with newcomers? I do today. I'm so convinced it's not even funny. I'm going to let you in on a secret. This is going to sound selfish. I don't care. I like the effect produced by working with newcomers. And I don't get there real easily. Sometimes, it's real inconvenient. I sponsor men 3 hours north of me, 3 hours south of me, and 3 hours east of me. And there's windshield time. But every time, it's a really, really, really cool, freeing, awesome experience. And that is my experience. That's just not making it sound good. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve and participate today. You know, and that's the thing. Life is so full through living life. And I get to live life on a daily basis. I don't not drink one day at a time. I don't know if I'd stay if that was the deal. See, the first promise of hope in the big book says, I recover from alcoholism. It's on the title page. I want that. And now I can live and participate. And this is what I found. I found some of the coolest things going on in my world, you know? I got to do some inventory, hear some inventory from one of my sponsees yesterday. And he's going to do another trip up to Connecticut to go to court for some of the things we bring in here and to watch his life take off. He's getting ready to move geographic locations for these new opportunities which show up in his life because he's connected to power. And I get where he's coming from. I watched him come in. And he was dying. And now I watch him living. And it's just so what a cool deal to be part of, you know. I was thinking about just that opportunity. So I'm in the first healthy relationship I've ever been in. And I came into recovery at age 42. We were talking about that at dinner tonight. That's a lot of years of some unhealthy stuff going on in my world. So check this out. My wife and I have never gone through each other's phones. That's like, whoa! I thought that was a prerequisite for dating. Right? At some point, I'm creeping that stuff, you know what I mean? And like, wow, really? And that's what I found. And, you know, I get to participate in her life. I'm a taker. I'm the guy that needs the bailout. And I get to participate and help her fulfill her dreams. I've never done this before. Guys, Bill isn't capable of that. We need Bill with God to show up for this stuff to happen. Or I ain't going to make it that long. I ain't going to stay. No matter what my intentions are. And that's what's so fun. She's going back to school. She's going to graduate from her first little nursing degree coming up in a couple of months. And her life has taken off. And her dreams are sitting in front of her. I get to be part of it and participate. And I've never been able to do that. It's not look at me. It's just like, wow, look what's out there for anyone. That may not be your path. But I love it in mind. Again, I couldn't have drawn that up. I never would have written that down as a thing. Oh, this is what I want to happen in recovery. I want to pay someone else's school bills. Like, I'm not capable of that. But I want to. I want to. I want to be able to do that. And walk out of there debt free. What? No, I got debt. I'm talking about this new endeavor. Just throwing that out there. Don't get it twisted. And that's so cool. She's my 12-step hero. She's in recovery and I can out her like that. She's just the epitome of sponsorship, and she does it so effortlessly. I'm always like, how do you do that? You know, it's fun to watch. And she will pick up at a moment's notice for her girls that need her, and she's gone. And you know, we're planning a dinner date, and you know, within 5 minutes she gets a call from one sponsee, she's coming unglued. 5 minutes later, another sponsee that needs a 12-step call, so she grabbed the first sponsee that was struggling. They're off doing a 12-step call. She comes home at 10 at night, and she's floating off the ground. And it wasn't like, oh, it would have been nice to have dinner tonight. It was like, wow, tell me about your night, and to see the glow come out of her. Watching her work with her girls is just really, really cool. So I have a family that used to change the locks. I don't know if anyone can relate to that. You know, I'm like Bill. At some point, I end up with my mom and dad. And here's the thing about growing up with my mom and dad. You know, they treated me so poorly growing up that I finally, age 42, I said, I'm out of here. I'm taking my stuff and I'm leaving. Not going to wash my underwear again, Mom. Making my bed for me like that, making sure there's food in the fridge. Guys, and that's not everyone's story, and it's absolutely mine, and they were amazing, but I lost that. They were detoxing from me for a long time. They didn't know I was down south in recovery for a couple of months, and they were told when they were ready to be told. And we met 18 months after I came down here, because that was the first time they were ready to meet, and I got to make direct amends with them. So what's cool is it's like, this is what I found with this relationship with mom and dad. And they're in their mid-80s, and Betsy and I just bought a plane ticket today for later in the summer. Is that when I showed up at their home up in Maine, I could see the stress and the tension behind their eyes when they were handing me the keys. And guys, I've been sober for a couple, you know, I'm working my program, and I'm not picking up that day, but they don't know it, because that's not their experience with me. Their experience is I get loaded no matter what. And I come home, and I know my dad's checking the gas gauges, because he's expecting it to be on empty, and it's not. It's barely moved. And the change is still in the change dish, the 42 cents that I would have needed for gas, you know, 3 years ago. And what I've watched was them watching me. They were watching my feet. If y'all were real quiet one night in this beautiful Atlanta area, if you had opened up your windows, this is what you would have heard all the way from Maine down here. You would have heard my mom and dad go, and it wasn't about 3 years of time. It was about, that's the time it took with the experiences we had as they were watching my feet, living life, doing the deal. And the deal's laid out for me. I'm gonna get what I need, but I need to do his work well and stay close to him. Third step stuff. If I'm doing the deal, I get to be part of that. And we've never had such a healthy relationship. You know, and they gave the keys to the safe and the office to a crackhead. Like, that doesn't happen a whole lot. And that's what I love my job today. And I've learned very quickly that my job can't be my recovery. I've buried people who worked for me that didn't have their own personal recovery. And we learn the hard way. And my life has taken off in a way that I couldn't have scripted. I love what's shown up for me this year, and I've had some really cool experiences with Larry and this book and being a service. And just being around, including here right now with you. This is where I'm supposed to be. I invite you to consider this. This is a challenge and a charge. I'm going to leave you with this parting thought. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you could be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. Bless you all. Pleasure.
Thank you. That was awesome.
child. Things moved out of my way, running so fast and wild. After time, trouble stuck to me. Found a way to blot it out, blind as I could be. Every time I got it going on, knocked back down the signs. What's the use in hiding now? It's got to realize. Love is gone.